welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football scores, football news.
Football pajamas.
Football pajamas. Yeah, I would love to sleep in those. This is the week of October 25th. I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Linata.
I'm Rob Steller.
And as usual, we're going to start out by talking about the scores. This weekend, there were no international or Champions League games, so Milan, it's basically...
Spoiler! That's everybody wanted to know. Goodbye until next week.
So we're going to start out with the scores. They were all league games. And then we're going to go into our topic, which is basically, would you rather, if you were a player, would you rather be the star of a small team or be a bit part player or kind of a bench player on a much bigger team that has more name to it, and what would you prefer to do? So let's get into it. So we'll start off in Germany, where, as usual, the big two won again.
Did Bayern win?
Bayern did win. I actually believed you that that was a question. So Bayern won 4-0. It was a pretty good showing for them.
They only scored four?
You know what? They decided to rest all their players. Slow week. They actually just played Neuer at the end. He was the only guy on the field. So they had a good, a wide variety of goals. Robin scored, Lewandowski scored. They had... although actually their shot total was kind of low. They only got 26 shots off. Jesus. So, you know, and Cologne had 4 shots. So that was actually, you know, pretty good ratio. What is that? Like 6-1. So Bayern, I mean, I don't know what to say. Obviously the loss to Arsenal meant something, but, I think it's more a hiccup. If anything, they didn't need to play. And, you know,
they can't be the Invincibles.
What do you mean?
Because they haven't won every single game.
Well, but I don't think the Invincibles won every game. Oh, they won every league game. Because they didn't win Champs League
that's
year.
A good point.
So it's more about doing the league. I mean, they've what, 13 wins, I think, right now? So they haven't lost a single game.
Bayern?
Yeah.
10.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
ease up, man.
So my point is,
three more weeks, they'll be there. Actually, two, yeah.
Munich is just rolling, and... The problem is, at this point, it doesn't look like anyone's even close to stopping him. And I think one problem is it starts building up in other teams that it's going to be impossible to beat them, which makes it even more problematic for them to get the spirit. Because what do you do when you have situations where they're scoring 4 and 5 goals on you?
Yeah.
So
I mean, they still have only given up 4 goals in 10 games.
It's insane. I mean, and you can chalk it up to whatever you want to say, Neuer and their defense, but it's incredible what they're doing. Their test is going to be Champs League, but it's crazy that they can dominate the Bundesliga like they do. On the other, I mean, I would say as a positive note, Dortmund's also doing well. They won 5-1. Aubameyang had a hat trick, so nice. That was nice to see.
He's been having a good season.
Yeah. He has. I mean, honestly, aside from a few blips and obviously the Bayern Munich game, they have really
still
done super well.
Which is their only loss so far.
And the other draws, like, I don't know where that came from. They've scored
29. Probably,
like, it's insane how many goals they get, 3+ goals fairly often. So it's good to see them, I don't know, still back in form. But it's one of those leagues where, I mean, Munich has a 10-point gap. I don't know how anyone can catch it up. Even if Dortmund were to win on the return leg, or actually, I don't remember where it was, but it doesn't actually matter at this point. It's completely in Bayern's hands. So that's Germany in a nutshell.
All right, so we'll quickly discuss France. Nothing.
Dave's
really
favorite country.
My favorite country to cover. Monaco actually won, so they're moving up.
There you go.
Didn't gain any ground on PSG, though, because PSG won as well. Let me see. Monaco won 1-0. Didn't actually see who scored, but I don't think it really matters.
Wow, that's.
I mean, it's tough. What do you? What do you say? About
like people that watch the French league. I mean, like what? Like, do you think they actually? I mean,
you say the same thing about Germany.
Well, I
but
think
the French league is, I think, worse than Germany.
How?
I mean, there's literally no contenders other than PSG.
I think the difference is there are, I think, better teams in the Bundesliga. It's just that Munich is so much further ahead. I think. I mean, obviously, people watch because they want to watch football. They want to see their teams play, and they love that. But I'm sure it's one of those things that gets redundant. Like, even when we had our dominance, there was still the Madrid. There was still that fight. And now Atletico is up there. I mean, right now, you're seeing the same thing over and over. And PSG, and you know, we're thinking about right now, next year, do you see it changing? Oh, I mean, Ibra might leave. They'll probably buy somebody else who's really good.
Yep.
But I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, that's how their league is. They were bought out by some people with money, and they want to play football with the bigger fish. So they're going to be dominating their league.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was PSG won 4-1. Figures the only goal that Saint-Étienne scored was an own goal. And Monaco's goal was scored by Portuguese power. Bernardo Silva actually got a goal.
That's his first name is Portuguese power, actually.
There's a lot of Portuguese guys on Monaco. The Quintrao is actually there now.
Oh, really?
Silva, Moutinho, Carvalho still plays there.
Jeez.
That's so why they got a lot of Portuguese players.
Ligue 1, because
yeah, they want to see Portuguese players. Watch it. So PSG right now is 7 points ahead, which, I mean, if you look at Germany, it's less than the gap there. But the team that's in second is Angers. The team that is third is Cayenne. And Lyon is actually in fourth with 19 points, so they are 10 points out.
Jeez.
So I would say Lyon probably. Monaco is at 17, so they're 12 points. But, I mean, not much else to talk about in this league. You might want to start talking about the relegation battle. Honestly, you know, Touloua or whatever you pronounce it, definitely hack that up. Toulouse.
I like how it goes to trying to just not trying.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, whatever. It's
they're
French.
In 18th in goal differential. They're usually decent.
That's why I gave Dave Lille's France.
Lille's in 15th. So they're still Marseille 14th, Bordeaux 13th. So I mean they're down by the bottom of the table. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see if they continue to struggle and maybe get relegated. But that's pretty much it.
All right, so let's move on to Italy. We had a couple big games this weekend. A lot of the big teams got results. Napoli 1-0 over Chievo. Udinese 1-0 over Frosinone. Milan got a win over Sassuolo. They started Donnarumma, their 16-year-old keeper. Pretty crazy. Yeah.
Wait, Milan did?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's on loan, isn't he?
No, I'm pretty sure he's our guy.
So what do you think about that choice? I mean, Diego Lopez isn't injured, so as far as I know, right?
He wasn't on the bench. I'm pretty sure he was injured.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a choice.
No, God, no.
Oh, okay.
Although I have my qualms with him anyway. But, if you want me to talk about this for a second, I can. It was... It was not a convincing win. We had 20-something shots, only 3 or 4 on target. So it's like, you know, we're creating a few more chances, but they're not the good ones, right? They're not ending in good chances that are resulting on net.
And I mean, the problem is you're relying too much on the hero, Adriano, because all the goals he scored, it's just...
Well,
it's,
so he got the winner. Yeah. Then. So funny enough, he came on, subbed on, although... Again, I question a lot of the choices that Miha is making as coach, and I think I'm not the only one who's, you know, kind of questioning his tactics and especially his substitutions that he's been making. You know, Honda came on in like the last minute, even though he should be starting right now, like over Cherchi, for example. I think that was kind of a ridiculous start. Anyway, so Adriano finally got a goal. It was a pretty nice header to clinch the win. So it's good to see Milan back in the right direction. Lazio got 3-0 win. Juve got a win over Atalanta. Inter drew to Palermo, so that was a big slip up for them. And then and the big match this weekend was Roma versus Fiorentina. Roma got an early start with Salah getting a goal, and then Gervinho getting a second in the 34th, and then Fiorentina got a consolation goal in the last minute stoppage time. So that was a big result for Roma, and it puts them on top of the table.
Which is crazy.
Yes.
I mean, not too long ago we were saying, why is Roma doing as poorly as Juventus, and now they're top of the table.
Yep. But it goes to show how close this table is in Italy right now. So Roma's on top with 20, Napoli with 18, Fiorentina with 18, Inter with 18, Lazio with 18.
Yeah.
You know, it's
easily the most competitive league out of the major ones.
Yes. It is very exciting to be watching Italian football right now. The other big clubs, Milan is now in 10th place, still with a -4 goal differential. Only 7 points back though, which is, you know, not too bad considering you're halfway down the table.
Yeah.
And then Juventus moves up to 12th place with 12 points. Udinese is still a little bit farther back, 11 points at 14th. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely an exciting league to watch this year. It's, you know, It's not the one dominating team that we're used to over the last 4 years, and it'll be interesting to see who ends up on top.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how this is going to shake out, and especially how they're going to do in Europe, considering they're all battling each other, to see kind of how that shakes out. Yeah. Although it's kind of weird because the teams in Europe don't necessarily reflect what the table is right now,
right?
Because this is
current. Italy has been the teams have been having a little bit more of a shaky performance in Europe than last year. Last year, Italian teams did really well in Europa League and pretty well in Champs League as well. So hopefully they can keep it up so we can get that last Champs League spot back from England.
Take it away. So then moving on to Spain, there were some interesting matchups, the biggest of which was Real Madrid versus Celta de Vigo. So Celta de Vigo, people probably have never heard that name before, but they were tied for first place. Basically, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Celta de Vigo were all tied at the top of the table. The only thing separating them was goal difference. So this was a big test, and this was also away for Real Madrid. Madrid ended up winning 3-1, but man, first of all, this game was a lot of fun to watch. And for most people who haven't heard of Celta, they looked legitimate. This did not look like a situation where they were some Cinderella story and they just happened to be up there and we're just waiting for them to fall. I honestly believe there's one man on Real Madrid's team that made the difference between it being 5-3 and it being 3-1. And when I say 5-3, I mean being in favor of Celta. And that person isn't Cristiano Ronaldo. It's not Benzema, Bale. It's not Modric. Freaking Keylor Navas. He stepped up like no other. And
yeah,
first things, like, to set this story, people have to remember, Madrid had been tracking De Gea for a long time, and they were just minutes from buying De Gea. It was a
It looked like it was a done deal. Yeah.
And actually, what their story is, they had already told Keylor Navas that he was leaving. I think he was going to go to Manchester United.
Oh, interesting.
And apparently, he was crying in the airport or something like that because they were sending him. I mean, he was done. And he wanted to play at Real Madrid. Like, that's why he came there. As most people know, it didn't work out because of fax machine mess up. And now Keylor Navas is playing for
fax machine still.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. I don't know what it was. Some email system. Or whatever their machine is. They have some specific machine that works with FIFA. But either way, Keylor Navas has been playing out of this world. I mean, honestly, he's been playing on the level of De Gea. And there's a feeling amongst a lot of Madristas that, you know, well, we don't need De Gea. The saves he made, it's one of those. I mean, some of it is positioning. Some of it is just purely reactionary where there's, I mean, just point blank headers.
He must have had at least a half dozen ridiculous saves this weekend.
Honestly, if you watch the game, you would think the team that was Celta was Real and vice versa. Because the one with all the shots, like the really good chances, was Celta.
And they went down. They went down a guy about 60 minutes in, too.
So that's a big thing to contend with. But they still felt like they were the ones that were going to score. And honestly, the final goal that put the nail in the coffin was pretty late on. It was a Marcelo goal. So it was really 2-1 for most of the game. It was 2-0 for most of the game. But still, my point is, Celta could have scored many, many times. And it was Keylor Navas, which I think is a really interesting story. And I think, I mean, this is a good sign for Madristas, because the Casillas story was such a thing that hung over their head. Casillas was totally on the downturn for many years, but they kept him in because, I mean, Diego Lopez came in, but it was a whole confusing situation. And clearly now they have a number one for the keeping spot. So this puts them at the top of the table.
It's interesting, too. Celta's only been, I mean, they've kind of gone back and forth between first and second division. And so this current stint, though, they've only been up since the 12-13 season.
Yeah.
They were a relegation battle for the first season they were up, and then ninth and eighth the last two seasons.
They're not they're not Villarreal. They're not Valencia. Right. They're not Seville, the teams you would kind of expect to be at that point. And not that it really matters, but the coach for Barcelona actually used to coach Celta Vigo before he went to Roma. But this puts Real Madrid ahead of them, and obviously they got 0 points out of it. So that was a pretty big matchup that people may not have realized. So then the other two, I guess, major matchups. So Barcelona played Eibar. Eibar actually went ahead first.
Yeah.
But then we started rolling and got some really nice goals. So I think the big takeaway is, so Luis Suarez got a hat trick, two assists coming from Neymar. And this is what you want to see. So yeah. The question is, what would happen when Messi was gone? Like, what do you do?
Who's going to step up? Yeah.
Neymar scored four goals last week. Suarez scored a hat trick. You can't ask for any more than that.
That's exactly what you want to see.
And Neymar assisting and things like that. It's just great to see that. So it was a good win overall. And it was at home, so it wasn't an unexpected. Eibar isn't a very good team, but still, it's good to see that win. Also, Atletico beat Valencia 2-1, so that was another. Jackson Martinez scored, so it's good to see him on the score sheet.
Damn it.
Yeah. And then Villarreal drew. So now we're starting to see the table clear out some more. But honestly, it's still pretty close. So right now, Barca and Madrid are tied top of the table, but Madrid is still higher on goal difference. But
a lot, too.
What? Yeah. We really haven't scored that
18
much.
18-8, yeah.
I mean, last week we scored a bunch, and this we did the first couple of weeks.
So Madrid has 21 goals. They haven't lost it either. Madrid has 21 goals, and Barcelona has 20 this season. But goals against, Madrid's only given up 3 to Barca's 12. Madrid has yet to concede at home.
We've had some really crazy games. So I think that honestly makes sense. But, our defense has traditionally been our sore point. But last year when we won the treble, the defense was our high point. So it's actually funny to see how much it's changing.
I mean,
I would definitely put the reasoning behind Madrid having that few goals conceded, a lot of it to do with Navas.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, their defense still does well. They have some solid players, but Navas is
at the end of the day, Barca is still getting the points, right? So they may be giving up goals, but they're still scoring a lot more. And that's that's all that really matters.
It's interesting also looking at the top scorers. It's kind of who you expect, but not totally. Neymar's first. Ronaldo is second, surprisingly. You'd expect him to be ahead. And the funny thing is, it's actually... Okay, he's still scoring. He scored last game, he scored this game, but he's not scoring in buckets like he has done for years and years in a row. So he has seven goals. He has 7 goals, 5 of which were all in one game. Yeah. So we're still waiting for Ronaldo.
He had a pretty slow start, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't. He's only scored in 3 games right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So he didn't score for a while, then he had 5 goals. So we haven't seen him to be at his level, but it's still consistent. So actually, I didn't actually realize this. So tied with 7 goals is Luis Suarez and Nolito from Celta Vigo. But you're seeing some other people at the top, and Messi's obviously
very
far down.
Who else is up there with Madrid, though?
Benzema has 6 goals.
Oh, okay.
So Benzema's doing well. Bale does not have that many. Griezmann's only had 4 goals, which is a little surprising. But Aspas is tied with Griezmann. But you're kind of seeing... You're seeing some things tease themselves out, but it's also... In a way, obviously I'm biased because Neymar is first, but it's kind of nice to see that Messi or Ronaldo isn't the top one. Although, granted, one reason could be because Messi's injured.
He had a slow start.
He didn't score that many either. And he didn't have a 5-goal game like Ronaldo did. So we'll see how it works out. But it's shaping up to be a pretty decent league so far. So now that we moved on to a good league, I'm kidding. Let's move on to England. So what were the scores for this weekend in England?
So there's Saturday games. I wouldn't say surprises, but Chelsea actually lost again.
To a very good-looking West Ham.
Yeah, West Ham's been decent this year. So
looking at that matchup at first, if you only casually watch Premier League, you'd think, oh, Chelsea's going to win. West Ham is a solid team.
And Chelsea struggled with just having discipline on the field. I mean, they had another red card, I think, towards the end of the first half, was it? Halftime. You're playing almost half the game a man down, against a good West Ham.
I mean, I don't want to talk about this because we just say the same thing every time, but every week we say, oh, well, Chelsea's going to find.
I thought the win last week would set them off and you'd see a run of, 3-4 wins, and
it seems nearly impossible that this is happening. I don't understand the quality of players, and it pushed more pressure on Mourinho, regardless of whether or not it's his fault. If it's his players, it doesn't matter. He could be out by December. We don't know, which is unprecedented for a guy of his stature. I don't think it would make sense. just because it always adds turmoil, but it is insane. Yeah. I mean, these are the... I mean, granted, West Ham is a solid team. I think they're, like, third now.
They're third, yes.
So, but whatever. I don't even know what to say about
that. Which is interesting, too, is that apparently Mourinho got, like, kicked out of the game.
Yep. Did, yeah, yeah, he did. He's in the stands.
Which, I don't know. I think it's a good thing because I mean, you can tell he's not happy he's with frustrated. What's going on.
And this is not his first touchline ban. I mean, no. When he got fined earlier, he couldn't be at the game. And I mean, implosion doesn't even cover it. And this is the team that won so easily last year. Yeah.
They have 3 wins in 10 games so far.
And even in Champions League, even in Europe, they had like a win or two that was decent. But mm-hmm. And they're in a super easy group. So this is crazy. Let's move on to the next game.
Arsenal beat Everton 2-1.
Yeah, yep. Big result for Arsenal.
Yeah,
And tough break for Everton too. Like two difficult games back to back.
Yeah, and we had our chances. They were definitely hitting the crossbar.
Meaning Everton.
Yeah, not Arsenal. But I mean, Arsenal continues to look really good. I mean, this is a solid win.
They're tied first right now. Yeah.
Yeah, Giroud. Consistently scores. I mean, he was supposed to be their striker. I think that's one thing they've had, a revolving door with strikers because no one's been consistent. And Alexis Sanchez has scored a lot, but he's not an out-and-out striker.
Right.
You know, he's on the wing. So they needed that point man, and Giroud has been scoring. I mean, it's Giroud. I don't think he's going to be that consistent. I think they need somebody better than him. Ozil has also been looking really good. But he's another guy who's off and on. He's ridiculously talented.
Right, but if they can keep up this pace and then bring on maybe one more big striker in the winter window, then.
But that's always what it is. We always say that. Remember, I'm pretty sure last year they were at the top of the table or near the top of the table in December, and then somehow Arsenal is Arsenal, and. Yeah. They somehow, it's absurd. I don't know, just like we talk about Chelsea week to week, year to year, Arsenal, they are the perennial, they should be good enough to win the league. I mean, if they had Alex Ferguson, they'd be winning the league every year. Yeah. Well, maybe not, but.
Most likely. I mean, other guess, Swansea won 2-1. Leicester City won 1-0 over Crystal Palace.
It's good to see them get a win again, yeah.
Yeah.
Vardy scored.
They've had a lot of draws recently,
I believe.
Vardy is crazy. Just
on fire.
Wofford won 2-0, and West Brom beat Norwich 1-0. And then Sunday, you know, a couple of good games. One, obviously, the Manchester Derby ended in a scoreless 0-0.
It was not entirely boring. It was so
we
you
have
know,
to say that.
So well, when you see 0-0, you know it usually implies like. You
particularly,
know,
I want to say
wasn't high excitement.
I mean, when City's involved, City is a scoring powerhouse. Like they've
got 24 goals. This
I mean,
season, yeah.
Just so everyone knows too, Aguero and Silva both did
right, and that was a huge factor. The other
but
big
De Bruyne has been on fire.
The other big factor of the game is that Yaya Toure did not show up for this game. And he just looked very low energy throughout the match. And I think he ended up getting subbed off, too, in like the 70s.
Yeah,
something.
He's been getting subbed out. I don't know if he's, you know, can't handle a full 90 minutes anymore.
He is getting
but
older.
But he's just, you know, he's one of those players when he's on, he's one of the better players in the league. And when he's not showing up for games, it really affects the team.
Particularly when you don't have Silva. You need that creative spark. And he's just powerful. So he can move through players and get it up to the front line. And... I don't know. I still think the stat that kind of tells the tale of the game, both United and City both had 6 shots each, only one on target.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it definitely would have been different if all the players were fit and ready to go, but I don't know. I mean, it's weird. This paints a confusing picture for both these teams. United, they've been grinding out wins, but we still don't know what kind of team they are. It's weird because they're relying a lot on Martial. Rooney still is not Rooney. Like he just
I'm pretty sure he got I forget what player he fell into, but he basically got a gash right on top of his head, and he went off on the sideline, and they just staple-gunned his head, did not flinch, right back on the field.
I don't know if you know, he's actually a zombie. Yeah, that's how he's been playing this time.
I will say, there's the takeaways. I think both the young stars on both teams, I think Sterling and Martial both looked really good. Martial had a lot of really good touches on the ball. He was making good passes. Yep. He was getting between defenders.
I mean, that should have been an assist to Lindegaard. I mean, it was a very... And
Lindegaard
did well.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't easy to control a ball like that. Yep. It's supposed to or the
Lindegaard looked pretty good when he subbed on, I think, right? I
don't, Lindegaard, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lindegaard, sorry.
They're,
yeah,
yeah. Lindegaard's Lindegaard,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They're I was surprised. They're actually playing him a lot. Well, not a lot, but I mean they're subbing him on. I mean would you guys think that he would have came on
not
in this
all.
Game?
No, of course.
Jesse
not.
Lingard. I mean, he yeah. hasn't played a lot, but he's an up and comer. Well, I say that he's 21, but he's been one of their bigger talents coming out of their youth, and he definitely has some skill to play
he
with.
He came out
of
the youth academy?
Yep.
Has he gotten much time?
Not a whole lot, but he actually did really good in the preseason.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, like, for him to break into Man U's
sure,
squad,
yeah,
I mean, he's got to unseat, like, Mata, like, top
yeah.
squad. So I kind of feel bad. I'm pretty sure they were loaning him out earlier in his career.
Right.
He's 21 now, but now he's
he did.
Good
he came on.
A,
he made an impact. I yeah. thought he made a lot of positive runs. He had a couple good balls.
Tried to get him some experience. Ultimately, though, I think he's going to go.
Well, you know, it's yeah. interesting to but, think. I wonder... We should talk in the future about whether or not you'd want to be subbed on for a strong team or possibly be the star
yeah,
of a smaller team.
That'd be a great topic.
Also, I think the 0-0 draw favors United more than City does, even though it was at Old Trafford. I mean, both teams are tied for first with in goals allowed. So Man U's defense has been absolutely amazing so
yep.
far this year, and City's is always good,
yep.
and they're both tied for first in goals
allowed. Well, I
wouldn't
say always good, but I think they've been better.
I feel like
year.
City's defense is
well, no, it's always City's always
year.
Been
Mangala a goal. Is a bad
they
buy.
Score in buckets.
No, but
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
like
in
goals
buckets.
Allowed, I'm pretty sure Man City's always in the bottom.
Well,
you know,
I thought Chelsea was usually at the top.
Well,
for,
yeah,
for
yeah
goals
I mean
allowed.
They were in the Premier League. Last year.
Well, either way.
Anyway, so I don't know. It wasn't, like Rob said, it wasn't the most boring game ever.
It was still very physical. It was high energy. You know, the players did go in on
challenges. Nobody
wanted
to make a mistake, I think is what exactly, you know, each team was just kind of playing, hence the six shots for each team.
I feel like
they just weren't creating the chances. And again, yeah. I mean, you were missing a lot of those creative players on the field.
Yeah,
so
and that must be
that
what
made
it
an
is.
Impact.
I guess I just expected City to at least score one goal. But what I was getting at earlier is that we're still... United, this is a big test, and when you have a draw, it doesn't really say much.
No.
City, same exact thing. City was not able to keep their pace up last year. They couldn't keep with Chelsea. This year, they came out of the blocks flying, but now you're seeing some of these stumbles. And admittedly, Aguero and Silva are huge, but they still have a lot of good
sure.
players.
Yeah.
So, and De Bruyne has really stepped up, but
yes.
he still didn't score.
Yep.
And, you know, one other person you have to mention... Joe Hart stepping up.
Yep.
I mean, that could have easily been a goal at the end.
Yeah,
it
was a great
was a
save away.
Terrible
yeah.
pass by Boney, but he saw it, and so there were chances. But either way, this puts them. They're still top of the table with goal difference, but they're tied with Arsenal. They're only 2 points up on West Ham and United. So,
I mean, I think you know. Again, just going back, Man U. I think it was you know if they were to lose this game, everyone would have been like, "Oh, City's you know the top."
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that since they were able to draw it. And I actually thought they played better than City more
so.
Off the other
yeah,
way.
I would say that.
I mean, I think possession, they definitely, I felt like they had the ball more often than City did. But I mean, I'm sure it was close. Also, I want to say, I mean, this is obviously a big fixture, but Man U's next games are all against easier opponents. So they have definitely have a chance to go on a run here. Minus the Champs League game that's coming up, which, I mean, is going to be huge for them. They have some easier teams. Crystal Palace, Norwich, Watford, West Brom. I
yep.
mean, they don't play like an Arsenal, a Man City, a Liverpool, a Tottenham, an Everton
yeah.
For a handful of games. So
yeah,
they can definitely move up.
That said, though, I mean, City
right.
City's looking at Crystal Palace, Norwich, and Villa for their next games before
yeah.
they go to – or before they play Liverpool. So I think both teams are going to probably fare pretty well in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Liverpool, Liverpool also played. And the reason why we still are talking about them a lot is because this is the Klopp era.
Yeah.
So we're trying to see how it's going to shake out. It was...
It's set up perfectly because they already have the Kop end. So you just need to add an L and an extra P on the end. And then you got the Klopp end.
He's here for three games.
Yeah.
And we've renamed everything.
Yeah.
They start singing "You'll Never Walk Alone" in German. So the game wasn't terribly interesting. It ended up being a draw, 1-1. This was kind of a big game.
He's drawn all of his games, correct?
Yeah, I guess so.
He's not won or lost a game.
Pretty good teams too.
So it's hard to tell where they are. And obviously, whenever you have any new coach, there's always going to be energy. I think one thing I was telling you guys earlier. So we should mention Benteke had a great goal in the 77th.
Better, yeah.
And it kind of looked like that was going to be the winner. And then Southampton scored the equalizer, kind of a scrappy goal. It was just bouncing around the box. And they got it in the 85th. So kind of a disappointing end. But I already love Klopp.
He's awesome.
The video of him after Benteke's goal, he went absolutely nuts. He
running did like down a run line, up
and
yeah.
he you pump, know, fist pump,
and then started beating his chest. Like, after, yeah.
He was just as excited as the players yeah. were.
So, I love seeing that in coaches.
It's insane. Now, I can't wait to see him do that and then his players after they score run up to him kind of thing. So we're still trying to see. It's still early. I think everybody's a little disappointed that he hasn't won one yet, though.
I mean, he's just coming onto a team. Obviously, he came after the transfer window, so he wasn't able to bring in any players that he wanted that fits his system. So, you know,
and
I think
Sturridge is out.
Yeah. And so there are a lot of factors going into this. And I think, you know, we have to wait till after the winter transfer window when he's allowed to bring in two or three players.
He's
that,
trying
that he wants,
to get to that January window, maybe make a buy, and then definitely get into the summer when he can start really, you know, kind of making his team. I'm sure he'll get a bunch of his old Dortmund, maybe not a bunch, but he'll get a few guys that he used to coach to come over, I think.
Yeah.
Dortmund's always got guys wanting to leave or getting ready to leave, so I think he'll definitely make some changes.
Especially to a club
there.
Like Liverpool,
Yeah, Liverpool and the Premier League, a lot of people want to play there. And in a weird way, like, it's kind of debilitating to be in the Bundesliga where you never feel like you can win when you're playing against Dortmund.
Yeah.
So do you guys have any opinions on where you think they should strengthen? I mean, I feel like frontline, Benteke is pretty good. If Sturridge can stay healthy.
But that's, we say this all the time, though. It's always, you know, Sturridge is always facing injuries, and it's always like, oh, well, they'd be doing so much better if Sturridge was in. But, I mean, if he's always injured, you have to be able to plan for this.
And it's a little disappointing. Like, if they had kept Sterling, that could have been an interesting front line, but, you know,
I think they need to get, like, a big name
guy. They need
like
a point strike.
Like an Ibra or, like, a Benzema or, like, somebody, like, with a big, big name. I mean, they have Benteke. They have Sturridge the score, but, I mean, they just don't have those big name guys. They just have
it's weird to think Liverpool. Yeah, their star player is probably Coutinho.
Yeah, yeah you know, we talked about the gap that Suarez left when he, you know, when he left, and all of the goals that the partnership that they had brought, and it's been that's obviously something that's very difficult to fill.
It's honestly, and I'm not saying this just because he's on Barca, it's insane to think how good Suarez must have been, because he almost took them to the title.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, Sturridge was a huge part of that too, but Suarez was the main man without a doubt. So it's insane that they did that well with him and how different it is. But we'll see. I think the Fenway group will be ready to spend money because they know they have a future with Klopp. I think people are excited. There's more energy no matter what. Apparently the noise at the game was insane, which is always a big deal because, you know, you want to see that the fans are re-energized.
Coming from the Klopp end?
Yeah. I mean, Rodgers, it just felt like a dark cloud over Liverpool. And the way, especially towards his end, he was talking about all these, like, conspiracies and people trying to get him out, which, granted, he did leave. But the reason why he left is because he was getting poor results for year after year. If he didn't have Suarez, he would have been out even earlier. So it's really good to see that energy. And Klopp has a really good CV to show that he can take teams. I mean, Dortmund wasn't doing that well when he took them over. And we'll see how Liverpool does in the future.
Yeah, and what also just to add is it's going to make things really interesting. Next week is Chelsea Liverpool.
Nice.
So it's like, you know, Chelsea, it's like, oh my God, are they going to lose again? Are they going to draw again? If they win, then Klopp, you're like, oh my God. I do not.
Might be at the Bridge.
I mean,
it is at Stamford Bridge. Yeah. So, I mean, but that's a huge game, I think, for both teams.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, if Klopp totally can win that, you're like, wow. And then, you know, if Chelsea loses again, I mean, they lost this week to a team they shouldn't have lost to, and they're going to lose again. I mean, if they lose this game, I mean, they literally can't drop, like, any more points.
Otherwise, I honestly
they
think,
won't get Champs League.
I think it's bigger for Liverpool just because Chelsea at this point, if they lose, you wouldn't even question it. You would just be like, well, that's what's been happening.
Right.
It does, even though it doesn't make any sense. So I feel like for Liverpool, Klopp getting a win,
Think Klopp is definitely hungrier at this point for that win.
It'll be an interesting game.
But yeah, I actually can't wait. I'm going to be a Liverpool fan for a day, so it'll be interesting to see what happens out with that. So
the table, though, do you want to run down the top teams here? So Manchester City is now, since they dropped points, is tied with Arsenal, 22 points. West Ham and Manchester United with 20. Leicester back in fifth, 19. And Tottenham, Crystal Palace, Southampton, Liverpool, and West Brom round out the top 10. Everton slipping back, man.
Yeah.
Bottom half of the table.
But there were some tough games they had to deal with. That's definitely true. It's still...
I think they're right where they
Yeah, I would hope a little bit higher, at least on the edge of Europa.
They're usually... that's where they usually are.
So, I mean, they clearly can't get top four. And there's always this feeling like I feel like they should be better than they are, but we'll see. I think it was better than last year, and we're seeing some signs of life. So, at least... they've been playing decently. Like, versus Arsenal, they didn't look that poor. Arsenal looked better, but we'll see. I mean, it's still kind of a crazy table, and I don't think there's a clear number one. I want to say City, but I can't say that.
Nope, definitely can't. Chelsea's down at 15th, 11 points.
15th.
My Bournemouth is staying out of relegation zone.
For long.
Sunderland, Newcastle, and Villa all still sitting on one win, 6-6 and 4 points
in
the relegation.
Which is kind of as expected. I want to find...
Newcastle, I feel like Newcastle should not be in relegation.
Bournemouth and Norwich are going to start to fall. I mean, Bournemouth has already lost a few games in a row.
Yeah.
They're
slipping right now.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle is just has a better lineup than Bournemouth does. Plus, Callum Wilson is out for pretty much the year.
Yeah.
So that's gonna hurt him.
It's such a big loss for them. He had such a good start to the season.
Maybe that's why they've been on a bad stretch here.
I want to meet the one guy who put a bet on Chelsea being at the bottom half of the table in December where he makes $1 billion.
Sean, it was you, man.
hey, bet 365. Okay, so I think that'll do it for the first half. We will catch you after the break.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons & Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Okay, welcome back. So we're going to go straight into our topic for the day. The question is, if you were a player or if you were advising a player, do you think it'd be better for them to stay as a star player for a lower level team or be potentially a bench player for a huge club, like say a United, a Barca, a Milan, something like that? So what do you guys think?
I mean, I'll probably go second here. I'm gonna wait for you guys to see.
So it's interesting because, like, you know, clearly we're all fans of big clubs, right?
Yeah.
And if we somehow were imbued with magical talents and could actually play soccer to that level, you know, obviously if you have the talent to play at a big club and you'd be starting, that's obviously the choice, right?
Yeah,
you're making more money, you're at bigger clubs, you get more fame, you play in Europe, you know, in Europe and stuff like that. So, you know, clearly that's what the goal is. So obviously it's very, very difficult to get to that level and very, very few people actually get up to that level. So what's interesting to me is a lot of the players that I become fans of tend to be players who play for smaller clubs, but are the stars of those clubs, right? And what ends up happening is a lot, you know, they get a lot of attention for being stars and scoring, you know, 15, 20 goals for a lower side because they are the scorer for that team.
The team is almost built around them in a way.
Right. And then they end up getting calls from bigger clubs and, you know, obviously bigger paychecks come with that. You're playing at a bigger stage and, you know, in front of more people. And
the it could be the child of the club you followed as a child.
Right. But how many times when you see this, you know, when players go to bigger teams, they're either not, you know, not the Ronaldos, they're not the Messis, so they're not the ones who are like the untouchables, right? Going to play every single game. So they become sporadic first team players or they become substitution, super sub, something like that. Like Lambert is a perfect example of this, right? Like he was very much loved for Southampton, you know, ends up signing for Liverpool, you know, and kind of fades into the background. Like he had a couple big games where, you know, he scored and stuff like that, and obviously got called up to England because of that. So anyway, that was a long-winded way of saying, you know, it's, if I was a player, it'd be very hard to resist the temptation of playing for Milan.
And that's what happens.
If Milan was like, oh, you know, you play one game in your life for us, I'd be like, well, that's fine, because then I'll have my jersey and I can say I played for them and and it'd be fine. But I'm, like I said, I'm a huge fan of the players who, you know, who not only become the stars of smaller clubs, and, you know, you see towns who just absolutely love this player. You know, he becomes like a folk hero in this town. And but I have a lot of respect for players who stay in those positions.
I think it's really difficult to be one of those players that stays there, because you don't get anything out of it. Even if you score a lot of goals, you probably won't be at the top, because you're not going to be winning any trophies.
Right.
And we should also keep in mind, you know, we're using examples. We're thinking of, you know, the Leicesters of the world going to, you know, the Uniteds or something. It's not even necessarily that. There are a lot of players who, you know, they might be at Arsenal and they realize, we're not winning any trophies, so I need to go to a Real Madrid so I can win. So this isn't going from tiny club to big club. This is going from decent-sized clubs to massive club.
Yeah.
So in both situations, though, this stuff happens where you end up being sidelined and you're in this, just some people end up being in this substitute hell. A perfect example I can think of, Alex Song. Mm-hmm. So Alex Song was a starter for Arsenal. He was not, no one's untouchable, but he was a very core element of their midfield. Barca called him. He came. We signed him. He did really poorly. He didn't play well with us at all for a number of reasons. And now he's just been floating around. He basically got loaned out to West Ham twice in a row, but they won't buy him for whatever reason. So I believe he's still loaned there, but I could be wrong. But my point is, now he's kind of orphaned. He doesn't really have a team because these teams know that they can just loan him and they don't have to buy him. But at the end of the day, to answer the initial question, if a club like that calls you, you can't not go.
I know.
I mean, you're the idea is, I have to take a risk. And at worst case, the hope is some club will take me back.
Right. Even because I have this big name attached to me now. Yeah.
And you can put that on your resume and say, at least, you know, you'll feel a little bit like a failure, but at least you'll have a club. But it's better than saying, you know, I never tried. I never saw what could happen. And the funny thing is, I mean, football is a crazy thing. A lot of times what happens is fortune has to favor you. Mm-hmm. Somebody gets injured, all of a sudden you're playing every game.
Right.
That makes all the difference, and then you're some star.
Assuming you perform well, yeah.
Yeah, assuming. I mean, I keep bringing it back to Barca. I'm thinking of somebody else, but I can't remember who I'm thinking of. But Javier Mascherano, he was a player that actually didn't do well at all when he started with us, because he doesn't work well in our midfield. Actually, every time he plays in our midfield, he's a defensive midfielder. Mm-hmm. But when he plays in our midfield, it doesn't really work that well. Even though he was brilliant at Liverpool, he does so well with Argentina, but just because of the way our team composition is. Then Puyol started getting old, getting injured. All of a sudden, he was forced in the back line. Now he's a starter in the back line all the time. He's the shortest central defender ever, but he plays really well. And you get that chance, and you run with it. So I think, in my opinion, if I was advising a player, I would say do it. And worst case, you're still making a lot of money.
Right.
You know, it sucks. And I think one thing that's even tougher, though, as a professional and as somebody who loves the game, I was saying, if I was a player, you just want to play the game. Mm-hmm. Even if you're playing for a crappy team, you want to lace up your boots. You don't want to sit on the bench all day, because it's infuriating to see, I am so close to this field, but I cannot get on the field.
Training with those players all the time.
Yeah. And it's also difficult. One thing I'll say, I feel like sometimes there's a different level of camaraderie with smaller teams, because everybody doesn't, there isn't that separation. Whereas, you know, at big clubs, you have the Ronaldos and Messis, you have to cater to them. And if you don't fit in with them, you don't fit in with the rest of the team.
Right.
So there's a different feel. But even all those things, I can't imagine telling somebody, hey, don't go to Liverpool, the club that you followed as a kid, the place, you know, step on that field
What if you were a Barcelona fan growing up and then it was Madrid?
That is huge. And that's really difficult. I mean, You can't say no, though. It's Real Madrid.
I would rather play for Frosinone for my career and be his hero there than play for Inter.
But you know what? But you know what? You think about the other things you're not calculating is money. You know, yeah, you could all be offered a huge contract. Yeah. As diehard a Madrid or Madrid, as diehard a Milan fan as you are, if you got that situation, you could play. And imagine if they were a good team. Like,
this
is
by no means a comparison. So the reason why this came up is that I play on two different teams, and I'm by no means a very good football player. I'm very mediocre. And so I play forward for a team with Dave, and it's a pretty competitive team. Like, we were up in the top of the table, you know, this year. And I play more of a not a substitution role, but like a secondary role there. Like, I'm not the top striker, and that's fine. Like, I accept that. So I play a supporting role versus this over 30 club that I play for, where the coach came up to me. This is what I was telling you before the show. The coach came up to me today, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't have to play the whole game. Like, I played 90 minutes usually. And I was like, you know, I'll come off if you want to sub on. Cause the coach also plays forward. So he was
actually stared down the coach and said, I'm not coming off. Asshole.
Yeah. So he was like, he only plays like 20 minutes a game. Right. Cause he's trying to get other players on and stuff. I was like, why don't you just come on? He's like, no, you know, I was talking to the guys on the substitutions bench and stuff. And everyone agrees that you are the best chance to score. And I was like, oh shit. It feels awesome. Like, that's what I mean.
Incredible.
It's like, I love, you know, it's a very good feeling to be respected enough, especially being a mediocre player that I am, but respected enough to be seen in that role.
Yeah.
And also given that responsibility.
And if you have a good crowd, I mean, even if you're not, you know, the people that are cheering you on aren't from around the world, when you hear that cheer from the crowd,
I mean, the crowd's all in my head at this point. So.
Stellar.
Yeah, yeah.
Stellar.
Oh yeah, they go nuts. I did score this weekend though.
See?
Yeah.
So I mean, where do you fall on it, Dave? What would you?
I mean, I think it has to do with the person's personality. So yeah. Like me, ego, personally,
ego is a big thing.
I mean, honestly, I'm the type of person where I'm more of a team player and would do, you know, if I didn't play versus somebody that was playing that was better or, you know, something like that, I wouldn't care as long as we were winning or I got a trophy or, you know, whatever. So, I mean,
I think you have to play a certain number of games in order to get the medal. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what it is, what it is.
Participation
medals,
okay?
You know, these guys obviously get paid tons of money.
Right.
So, I mean,
yeah, that's
the money to get paid, all this money to do what you love. I mean,
yeah.
Some people are, I'm sure they're just like, who cares? Like, I'm getting paid. I'm playing soccer. Right? Like, I don't care what team I go to.
But you're a professional athlete. You want to display your trade.
And then there are some people that want to be the best player and want to score the most goals and want to be the, you know, known worldwide and want to play as much as they can and score as many goals. So, I mean, if they go to a team where they might, you know, the team might be better, but they're not going to play as much. You know, this is where you run into guys that start getting mad and start running into coach issues. And, you know, then they end up leaving. You know, Lambert's a decent portion, but I think Lambert's more of on our side, I think, where, you know, he loved Liverpool, went to Liverpool, and he never really started any rifts with Rodgers, knowing that Lambert barely played.
To be fair, he's also on the latter stages of his career, too.
Yeah. He's 30.
I thought he was 32, 33.
He's not older than 32.
Oh, okay.
But either way,
I don't want to say he didn't care, but he didn't make it a big deal that he wasn't playing over Benteke. Well, Benteke just got there, but Sturridge, even Barini, I think, was playing more than him. So, I mean, I would personally want a guy that was kind of like him.
Lambert's
33. Yeah. Just turned 33.
In February.
Okay. Same thing. Anyway. You know, so, me personally, I wouldn't care. I mean, if I was scoring goals for an up-and-coming team or a team that didn't win a lot, you know, that's fine with me. But if I was on a team and wasn't playing a lot, I mean, that would be fine with me, too. I wouldn't get, you know, overly pissed. I mean, you know, you're still practicing with all these guys. You're still training with them all.
Like, if I was a professional athlete, though, like, I would want to be playing the majority of the time.
And even, I mean, if you're a top, if you're one of the best players in the world,
but that,
yeah.
But that's my point, though.
That's
how
you get to that level.
Right, but if you're not one of those players, would you rather just sit on the bench week after week or not even be on the subs list and just be
on this
team?
That's where it comes into, like, people like Lambert, I mean, at a younger age, you know.
But imagine being one of those guys. You get to join a team, and you're training with Messi, Neymar, Suarez. Like, right. Even from a star-struck point of view. I mean, I don't know how all footballers are, but like that would just be crazy.
You also get better by training with them as well.
That's the hope.
Right, but if you never play, who cares?
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, you would end up leaving.
But not. I mean, they just sit on the bench and they don't play.
There's a couple ways to look at it. I mean,
I agree. It's definitely personality is a huge thing.
So, you know, I love the fairy tale. Like, so Bournemouth, for example, you know, had had this charge recently from League Two to the Premier League, and it was obviously a huge thing because they've never been in the top tiers of English football, and it's a small town, and you know there's a very very dedicated fan base, and you are basically thrust into the role of folk hero for the teams that eventually played a big part in getting them promoted, you know. And I think that, granted, you know, it's a small town on the coast.
Yeah, like
it's not a Liverpool, Manchester,
Bournemouth.
I mean. If they turn out to be...
They're on the mouth of the river.
Oh, God.
If they turn out to be the team that, you know, wins the Premier League, imagine if you could say that you were on that team.
You were
that
part of it, yeah.
Obviously, that's not going to happen, but it's fun to think. And I don't know. I totally agree. That's a nice thought. And having people know who you are versus just being an unknown, it's more... It's kind of like the difference between... you know, having met a celebrity once and people ask you about him, oh, what was this person like? What was he or she like? But you can't really say that much because you don't know them that well versus people, you know, like even like this podcast, people hearing about us and having real fans of us rather than being wanting to talk to us because we know somebody else. It's just a different feeling altogether. So, I mean, basically what to cap this conversation, I don't know if you know this, Dave, but we actually were in talks with Manchester United, and they were going to offer you a contract, but now that they know that you don't give a shit about them...
That's fine. I'll stay at Chester FC and keep managing it and not playing because I'm always
stay
hurt.
In local leagues.
Oh, jeez.
So I think that'll do it for this week. That was a fun topic to talk about. So we will be here every week, so we hope to see you next week. We are Kiss the Crest. You can find us on iTunes. Please, if you can, rate and subscribe. Please also comment. Tell us if there's anything you want us to talk about.
Share us.
Share us on Twitter, on Snapchat, on Yik Yak, just wherever you know. The internet, Google. Have you guys heard of Google? Share us wherever you can. Tell us how poor our pronunciation of European words are because we don't know how to do it, apparently.
If you speak French, please just call into our show at some point.
So, please check us out. You can also find us on thecommentist.com. You can also find some other podcasts on there like The Unwind, Roll to Hit, Bearded Vegans, and
Continuous Improvement.
Yeah, just there are a couple of ones. So, we will hope to catch you next week.
Thanks.
See you.